After all art is experience.
Hello, and welcome to The Company Doctor, and for part two of The Doctor's Surgery, where we'll be covering public speaking, interviews with CEOs, Gary's favourite business books, and dealing with big egos, among many other topics submitted as questions by you, our wonderful listeners. This one says that being the boss of your own company often means being head of marketing, sales, and HR. What advice do you have for new entrepreneurs who are struggling to juggle different roles?
Good question. I think the number one word I would use is focus, and don't do the things that are comfortable. A good example is that you could spend a lot of time, you know, getting the website right, doing the headed paper, getting your business cards, not that anyone needs them anymore, and doing the, you know, being busy, but not, you know, not being active. Mm-hmm. And the goal of being in a business is to be successful in a business. So being, when you start, you kind of, you'll take anything and decide what you want to be famous for. What do you want your business to be? What are the key things that move the boat, make the boat go faster?
Mm-hmm.
And keep checking, will that activity make the boat go faster? Because if it won't, don't do it. And then, you know, find some like-minded people to get ideas and get help, because doing it on your own is pretty lonely.
Yeah.
And I think you miss out because you're kind of single dimensional. It doesn't mean you should go to loads of different people and keep changing your mind, but definitely initially, you know, take the time to think through what you're trying to do. Who are the best people you could get some advice from?
Yeah.
And, you know, get started, keep focused, but do be willing to adapt, because life's not a straight line.
Yeah. It's funny, because it's a different approach, isn't it? From say when we were talking about consulting and going into an organization, initially you want to keep those ideas very much to yourself, whereas I think when you're becoming, you know, entrepreneurial, starting your own business, you want to immediately use people as a sounding board.
Yeah, because you know me, when I talk about goals, I suggest you share your goals with people. But when I told you about change, I told you not to share it, but I think you should share it. It's just a timing issue. I mean, it depends on what kind of business you're in, right? But
yeah,
I think the main thing is about deciding what you need to do, doing the research first, making sure you're placing a bet in the right place, being very focused. You talked about being on your own. That's why I've sort of kind of limited it in my answer. But
But
be willing to adapt. And also, just don't fool yourself. I mean, a lot, when you're in corporate life, you can have meetings and I'm not saying berating, I've done it and it's all great. Mm. But everything you do has to count. So you can't do a blah, blah thing. It's like, well, will that move the dial or not?
Yeah.
Do I need to have that meeting? And am I working with a company and they're not responding and I'm spending too much time on it? You can't afford to do it when you work for yourself.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just got to be, you know, fairly cutthroat about it, really.
And I suppose you'll learn pretty quickly what does and what doesn't work. So it is a little bit about testing the water initially, figuring out what is worth your time, and then cutting out all the stuff that isn't.
Yeah, and just avoid plowing your own field. You know, someone's driven the path already, unless it's something very different.
Mm-hmm.
They've probably driven the path already, so try and steal ideas from other people.
Yeah.
And then add your own to theirs, you know?
Nice. Steal ideas.
Steal ideas.
Next question. A lot of what I do, and we've talked about this a lot, of what I do is grounded in successful networking strategies. What are some tips that you can give for cultivating long-term relationships, presumably in business?
Yeah. I mean, you know, networking is my thing. And I just, you know, if I look back on my working for myself, networking is my number one thing. I'd say the most important thing I've done is be a good networker and continue to be one, because it's a journey. It's not a one-off thing. And then, you know, without going through the whole networking episode, you can listen to that one. There's two episodes.
Yeah.
But probably the number one thing is to think about what you can do for them rather than what you can do for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different mindset. It's like, it's not about me. Well, it is, and it is right now. But generally, it's not about me. It's about you. And if you start with that mindset, be curious that you're generally interested in what they're doing, what's going on out there.
Yeah.
Then it's a whole different dimension than it's all about, I'm trying to sell something, I'm trying to get someone to buy from me. I know you are.
Yeah.
But if you start in that place, you're just going to repel people. You're just going to be annoying.
Yeah. It's almost starting a friendship, isn't it? You know, because if you become sort of friends with people, then, you know, you're going to take an interest in them. They'll take an interest in you. They'll be more likely to call on you for future potential deals or whatever it may be.
Yeah. It's funny, actually. In the summer, I went to a vineyard for a change. I've seen a lot of vineyards and I've drunk in a lot of them too. I've even stayed on a vineyard. But this particular one, as always, they explain there's old vines and new vines.
Mm-hmm.
And they explain the process that they go through to get a vine to be an old vine rather than a new vine. But the wine is better in an old vine.
Right.
It's more mature, it tastes better, blah, blah, blah. But you have to invest in watering the thing and planting it and looking after it. And it takes time. And I feel networking is the same. It's an investment in a relationship on a long-term basis. And you have to feed it, water it, look after it, add value to it. It's the same. And then the sun will shine and the grapes will come and you can squeeze and make your own wine.
That's an excellent analogy. Like I'm not sure if you just came up with it, but either way. Did you really?
Because my life is all about wine. So I want to share my winery.
It. Your two favorite things.
I'm a wino, isn't it?
Wine and networking.
Whining.
Good stuff. Okay, on to the next. Because, that was.
I'm excellent. Going on too long, I get it.
No, you're not. Not at all. If you've got any more wine analogies, bring them in.
They're coming.
Because I very much enjoyed that. I'm at a mid to senior level.
You are?
No, sorry. This is
a friend.
It's a friend question. Of friend of mine. This is written in. I'm at a mid to senior level, but I still struggle when it comes to public speaking. How do you prepare for presentations, or what are some simple ways to prepare for them?
Yeah, you know what? Public speaking is one of those things that is one of the biggest fears of a lot of people.
Mm.
You know, they would rather, I don't know, eat their own hair, and I can't even do that, than do public speaking. It's funny, isn't it? Well, it's not funny, but I understand why.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think you should always be nervous about speaking because it means you care about it. But there are ways, you know, it's a bit like when we've done our episode on interviews. If you're prepared, you're less worried. And I think one of the starting points on presentations is, this can sound obvious in a way, but who's the audience?
Yeah.
And what do you want them to do as a result of your presentation? Now, do you want them to do something? Do you want them to know something? Do you want them to change something?
Mm-hmm.
If you start with who's your audience and what do you want them to do as a result of your presentation, then you're in a much better spot. And the second thing is, and again, not everyone's going to agree with this. I'm not a big believer in writing out what you're going to say in detail because it takes away your personality. If you're either reading a script or unless you're a newsreader or you're reading bullets on a slide, which is the most boring thing in the whole world.
Yeah.
No offense to anyone who does that. So, you know, maybe you start off by writing it all out, but I would narrow it down so that you're more natural and be normal. Be a normal person. If I was in the bar explaining to you what this is about, and I appreciate you might be presenting to a senior audience, that's why you need to know your audience, then adapt your presentation to the people you're speaking to, remember what you want to get out of it. And once you've done that planning, you'll be more confident because you'll feel more natural about what you're about to do rather than going, like I've done it myself. If I do a long presentation and I've written it all out because I want to make sure I don't miss anything, I'm rubbish.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not me.
It's the same for a lot of people. You know, they're there with the entire thing. Because if you lose your way, then you suddenly start sweating and panicking. And better to just rely on what you already know. It's just having the confidence to go off script, isn't it? You know, can you imagine if this entire thing had been scripted? If everything that, you know, this whole podcast, everything that you were saying was written down, it'd be so boring.
You mean it's not?
I mean, not for me, it's not.
No, not for me either. Right, it can't be for me because I didn't know what you were going to ask me. But yeah, and I think the other thing is, some of the best presenters I know just have pictures and they use pictures that are maybe semi-humorous that makes a point.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't say you have to be funny all the time because it's not always relevant. It depends on who you present it to again. But if you can just put up a picture that you can talk around, that will be your trigger to remember what you want to say. But you know your subject. You know what you're going to talk about. You know what the audience is and what you want them to do. Then you're on your way.
Great. Yeah, it's a tough one. It terrifies a lot of people.
A whole topic on its own, isn't it, really? We should do an episode on it.
We should. Yeah, haven't, have we? No, we did. Okay, good. We'll new year.
New year, new us. New us.
Okay, on to the next. And we mentioned interviews a second ago, and this is an interview-based question. It says,
go for it.
Gary, I've been through 4 rounds of interviews for a new job, and the final interview is with the CEO. My question is, what is the best way to prepare for a CEO interview?
Ooh, nice. Well done, whoever's been through 4 interviews and got to the CEO. My advice in any interview is to research the person and the company.
Yeah.
Try and find someone you know still. I mean, if you've got a CEO interview, there's a fair chance that someone will know that person if you're at that level. I would say.
Yeah.
And you've got to think through the lens of that person. So if they're a CEO, they might have written something, or there might be something in an annual report or something somewhere. So I'm trying to understand their language and some of their business issues that are going on right now. And I would think, try and think of a really good question.
Yeah.
And the other thing I would do is obviously you'll need, you know, you'll have a job description of the role. You're hopefully done enough research, you understand what they want. But I would ask them that question. What does good look like?
Yeah.
For this role. But I would have a couple of questions around some of their business issues and ask them about those things. So what does it mean to you? What's the effect of this? I've read that, blah, blah, blah. What are your thoughts about that? How does that impact your business? That kind of thing. So that would be my prep.
Yeah. And can you do enough preparation? As in, can you sort of over-prepare, or is it worth just really getting to grips with the ins and outs of the business as much as you possibly can?
Well, I don't think you can over-prepare, but I do think preparation is really important. And then I would run through the things they might ask me, because there's only so many things I'll ask you. And I will say it out on my own. I think we've talked about this in one of our interview podcasts. I would say out loud what they say and what I would say. Because if I've thought through all the things they might ask and how I would respond to them, then again, I feel much more confident in the interview because, all right, they might ask me something I didn't think about, but it's more likely they'll ask me the things I've already prepared. Look at episode, whatever number it is, to find out about it. But I also always recommend adult-to-adult conversation. They're not more important than you. You're not more important than them. And you've got to have, if you're talking to a CEO, then you're a senior person anyway. Mm-hmm. And you know, you need to be confident in what you're able to do and how you do it. And they want to know how you're going to deal with it, what would you do, what would you do in the first 90 days. Those are the sort of questions that are going to come up. So you've got to be prepared for them.
And so you shouldn't really be stepping up your game, because your game should already be at that level if you're getting to the CEO.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't step up your game, because I think stepping up your game is being prepared. And being prepared is thinking about looking through their lens, not through yours. So if you were the CEO, what would you want? And what sort of questions would you ask?
Okay.
And be prepared for those. So do your research, but be confident, because you're at that level. So yeah, they're not better than you. They need you.
Yeah.
That's why you're going to the interview. Their company would be better as a result of hiring you, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yes. You don't sound convinced by that.
Sorry.
It's because
I have a cold, you see. That's what it is.
That's not you being convinced?
Yeah. I can't be convinced if I have a cold. It's impossible.
I get it.
Okay, so this one is, I think, relevant to possibly the previous episode or maybe two ago, but it says that my company has been through a large upheaval recently, and I think a lot of crucial people were ignored in that process. When initiating change in a business, are there character profiles within the teams that you should concentrate your attentions more on than others?
Well, I don't know if the question's coming from I'm about to do the change or I'm on the receiving end of the change. What do you think?
I don't know, but I think it's about to be on the receiving end of the change.
Okay. Well, here's my thoughts. If you're on the receiving end of the change, I know people and have been myself more promoted during times of change than any other time. The best steps in my career have been during times of change. But I've also seen people be bitter and twisted and go the other way, or hide, or whatever the right word is, or disengage. So probably the most important advice. Can you read the first part of the question again so I got it, so I don't miss the...
I think a lot of crucial people were ignored when initiating change in business. Are there character profiles within the teams that you should concentrate your attentions more on, more so than others?
Hmm. Well, you know, people do get ignored. If you're going through a big change, I used to be in outsourcing. You start off trying to be fair. So we have one from this company and one from that company.
Yeah.
And then the time gets reduced and then all of a sudden you just go, oh, just do it. So... it's nothing personal sometimes, but that's why if you're on the receiving end of the change, you've got to raise your profile. You've got to be on the radar, you know, offer to help out, be involved, be inside the tent, because if you're not, you're going to get forgotten. And so if you've been in a situation where you got forgotten, it might be because the change was a turnaround and needed to be done quickly, or it might be just because you weren't on the radar. So is it your fault or is it theirs?
Yeah.
Now you could sit there and think, well, I shouldn't have to, but then you're not going to get anywhere. If you're making the change, then the best thing you can do is get people involved in the discussion about the change so that you can bring people with you, but you're not going to bring everyone with you. So, you know, you just have to, I don't know if that answers the question, because it depends where it's coming from.
Yeah, I think on either side, it's slightly different. But I think this person seems to be saying how they should position themselves. And I think if you're saying inside the tent, I think that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, you've got to stand up and be counted and get, you know, sometimes you get lost. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on, but, you know, people should know who you are, but they might not. And someone might not have told anyone about you. That's your fault, not theirs. Sorry, that's rude, isn't it?
No, I think it's absolutely right. And yeah, I think, you know, you don't want to be sitting there, as you say, bitterly saying that the writing's on the wall if you can actually make a difference. And, you know, you don't want to burn bridges.
I think the mindset should be, look, change is uncomfortable. And some people say they love change, and I don't really believe them. But anyway.
Yeah.
The way to look at it is this. It's a massive opportunity. The word change is, the Chinese word for change is crisis and opportunity.
Ah, that's great.
It's true. So which side of the fence are you going to be? Are you going to be a crisis or are you going to be opportunity?
Yeah.
My recommendation might be to be on the opportunity side. So in order to be on the opportunity side and not on the drama side, you need to stand up and be counted and offer to help.
Great.
Boom.
Take that, whoever you are.
Take that, change agents.
That's good. This is good for me because I have a massive ego, as you know. But how do you deal with big egos at major stakeholder meetings or round tables?
Good point.
We've done something on this recently, haven't we?
We have. But well, one of the things, the phrases I use is kill people with kindness, but that doesn't necessarily solve the problem. Yeah. You've got to match the person. So never wrestle with pigs. Have you heard that? That's a really rude phrase. Don't wrestle with pigs.
I haven't.
If you wrestle with pigs, no one comes off very well. It's just kind of muddy in there.
Right.
And also, if someone is a, what's the word, the terminology you used on that type of personality?
A sort of a stakeholder or, you know, a major stakeholder or business
company. A major stakeholder that is a high ego, I think you said. Sorry, it was a high ego. Yeah. If someone's a high ego person, then if you're combative with a high ego person, it's going to work against you.
Right.
So in order to overcome that, you need to be empathetic. You need to understand where people are coming from and take the time to understand. The best way to deal with difficult people is to deal with it before you get to the meeting so that you can... You know, you can understand where people are coming from. If you're in a meeting and you couldn't do that before and something comes up, then you should not get into a fight publicly. It doesn't work.
Sure.
No one wins an argument. And also, you should definitely be more empathetic to understand where people are coming from.
Yeah.
And take it outside. That's what I would suggest. And
so don't lower yourself. Yeah.
Well, it's not so much lowering yourself. It's just you don't win an argument. The way you win overall is in the long term. You don't have to win every battle. You need to win the war. So the principle is... You need to lobby people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've often spoken to people outside of the meeting beforehand, because if you know what the subject is and you know what the pressure points are going to be, don't wait to the meeting to have the discussion. Pick it off outside.
Yeah.
And then when you come to the meeting, you're at least more aligned. And then the other bit is my favorite phrase, you know, it's more important to be aligned than agree. Do you need to agree? Is that a showstopper for you? Or can you align? Because if you can align, you can move forward.
Yeah. And I think in these sort of situations, that's the key, isn't it? You know, you need to move forward. And then, as you say, we can...
Be the bigger person. Have you ever driven down the road where... you don't drive. Yes, you do. You do drive now. Driven down the road, and there's a narrow road, and there's a car coming the other way, and you think, right, well, I was here first. I'm not moving. I mentioned this before. I'm not moving.
Yeah.
Well, what's going to happen? You're just going to both be stuck there, right? But if you can be the bigger person, you can say, right, I shouldn't have to move, but you know what? I need to go where I'm going. So I'm moving back, let them out, and I might show them a hand wave gesture thing, but I've been the bigger person. I move back and I'm going to move on.
Yeah, no, I like that. Another good analogy. No wine this time, but probably best if you're driving.
No wine, but no wine, no way you're driving then.
No, that's fine. I think we've got time for two more questions.
Oh, okay. I hope they're good ones.
They are good ones.
No pressure.
Let's see. I mean, annoyingly, I have quite a few to choose from, but I'm going to have to whittle it down. We'll go with this one, which is fairly personal.
Oh,
but who are the who are the business leaders that you most look up to and why?
Oh, I like that question because it gets me to think. When you said personal, I thought maybe my wife had written in or something.
No, well, not as far as I know.
Dinner's ready. Dinner's ready. Well, it's difficult because everyone, you know, people might agree or disagree. But one of the people I really respect because I like strong leaders was Margaret Thatcher.
Right. Okay. Controversial.
I know. It's slightly controversial because people are political and I'm not really. It's not because of politics. It's just because I like strong people.
Yeah.
I thought she was a really strong leader. You wouldn't agree. Not everyone would agree. But I thought that she was a great leader.
Mm-hmm.
And we said business, so that's not an answer. And I just love Richard Branson, which is a bit of an easy pick. But the reason I like Richard Branson is he's just such a great marketing guy.
Yeah.
I've read a couple of his books and he's so good at finding an angle, and he's very personable with people. You know, when he sets up a business, he goes out of his way to know people's names and things about them and their family. And he's always Yeah, he makes notes about it, but he's always picking it up, and he's just interpersonally very smart. And obviously, he's been very successful, but it's a bit of an obvious one, I suppose.
No, I don't think so. And it's very much, I think, on brand with yours, with, you know, in terms of the way that you often do the same thing. You know, you just sort of have a, you know, you create an energy about you, and, you know, you advocate doing this as a person, as a business leader.
Bless you.
So I think that makes sense. And actually, you mentioned books there, but you often mention good books and you recommend good books for people to read. Might be a bit too on the spot and difficult to remember, but if there are any books, either by these business leaders that you've brought up or anyone that, or any that you'd recommend, just
yeah,
for...
Yeah, I've got one. This is one of my favorite books ever.
Great.
Yeah, I know. it's called Let's Get Real, mm-hmm. or Let's Not Play.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's even got a foreword by Stephen Covey in the front of it. It's so good. Let's Get Real or Let's Not Play. I won't pronounce the names of the authors because I can't, but I highly recommend. I'm not sure if you can still get it. Hopefully you can, because I love it. It's a breakthrough book on transforming the buyer and seller relationships. But the ideas in there are great. And the second book I really want to recommend is, you're going to roll your eyes when I say this, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Okay.
Is the best book. It's 1925. It's been revised, you know, Dale Carnegie, but every positive mental attitude book, any book that's written now, is the baseline is Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. There's one for the digital age, actually. It's been updated.
Yeah.
But that is my favorite go-to.
I've never read that. So
haven't you?
No, I know.
I love it. Now, if it's a non-fiction, I forgot the right one. I'm having a brain problem right now. Then Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand is my favorite book that is not about personal development.
Right. Atlas Shrugged. Okay.
Atlas Shrugged. Great book. Ayn Rand. A-Y-N Rand.
Great.
There we go.
Good leaders, good books. Yep. Thanks very much for that. And finally,
it better be a big one, George.
Well, it is. And it's fairly open-ended, and it's a tricky one. But what are your top pearls of wisdom for emerging business leaders of 2023?
Oh. Okay. We're about to apparently go into a recession. I don't want to participate in a recession. This sounds too boring and not great, but
we are
where we are. So my number one thing is the best way to navigate a recession is to focus on people's business issues. It's the fastest way. Don't focus on your product. Don't focus on your service. Don't even focus on your solution. Focus on the customer's business issues and link it to an outcome. Why do they want to buy something from you? You know, they don't want to buy you. They want to buy something at the end of it. What is it?
Yeah.
And what can you do to help them get it and maintain it? If you focus on business issues, so I started my career, as you know, as a consultant in 2008 in what I thought was the worst recession. Who knows? But at the time, I had my first year was my best year.
Right.
And I focused on people's business issues. Now, I appreciate people in different businesses, right? But overall, that will always help you in any business you're in. Don't focus on you. Focus on them. What's their business issue? Can you solve it? And don't talk about features and benefits.
Great. And there are going to be quite a few issues, aren't there, I think, as we said, in the next few months, potentially, with a recession on its way in.
Apparently. But, you know, the mindset's got to be, look, I'm not saying we shouldn't be compassionate to people, because we should, but the mindset's got to be, you know, we can talk about loads of businesses that have had good and bad years in recessions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, some businesses are naturally... it's good for them in a recession because their products or service lends itself to it. But I can show you loads of businesses that some people have failed at or some people have succeeded in the same time. Everyone will know that. So you can always find someone who's been successful or hasn't been successful.
Yeah.
So therefore, there must be a path, and the path is normally, you know, is keeping going, being focused, focusing on issues, being positive, not in a kind of jazz hands way, but in a believing that you can be successful.
Yeah.
We need action to back it up. You know, you might need to make allowances for the situation you're in, or you might need to overcompensate for the situation, but, you know, to work harder. But at the end of the day, I think you've got to be focused.
Focus and focus on the issues. I think that's some...
Focus on the issues, dude.
Some solid advice. And don't make New Year's resolutions.
Oh, I hate New Year's
resolutions. Another classic,
I hate New Year's resolutions because your whole life should be about setting goals and resetting goals. I was talking to someone today that has inspired me, who has decided to write his objectives and goals every day. And he's come up with an idea. I'm going to share it with him. I'll share it with you now because he was so passionate about it. He's got three pins every day.
Three pins.
And his pins are the things he has to do today.
Right.
He calls them pins because he has to do them. And then at the end of the day, he looks at, have I done my three pins? Now, it could be something like phone back someone who called me. It could be get a quote on, you know, a mortgage. It could be whatever you think is important. The pin is the important thing for you.
Yeah.
Whatever you're doing. And at the end of the day, you go, have I done my pins or not? And if you haven't, I've got to do them tomorrow. They're the kind of the key things out of the list of things.
Interesting.
And I love that. And he looks at every day for the next day. So if he did the 23-day challenge that we did with the three pins,
he'd smash it.
I love that.
Yeah.
We get on our man with the three pins.
Yeah.
Pin him down to an episode.
Yeah, I love it. Love that. Right? Gary, love thank that. You so much. That's you've dealt with those
great,
questions.
They're great questions. Everyone who sent those questions in, thank you so much. I generally didn't see them before. I don't know if I gave you the answers you wanted. So if I didn't give you the answers you wanted, my name's George Claude. But if you did, and by the way, this episode, we didn't leave all the good stuff to the end. We hopefully got the good stuff all the way through. But, you know, sign up to our email subscription because, you know, we'll get goodies out to you and you can get more of the good doctor stuff.
More of the good stuff. Yeah, it's a Christmas miracle. Gary, thanks so much. We will see you all next time.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Huge thanks to you all for sending us your excellent questions for this Doctor's Surgery special. We'll be sure to do another session, so if your question was missed out, fear not. Head on over to thecompanydoctor.com for more Company Doctor content. And as ever, thanks for listening and for your ongoing support of this podcast.